It's episode 668 of Old Man Cycling Podcast. Today I want to talk about 7 things I wish I knew when I was starting cycling. Let's cue that intro! Welcome to the Roadman Cycling Podcast. My name is Anthony Walsh. 6 days a week, we bring you an inspiring person or message to help you on your journey towards health, happiness, and longevity. Now let's get into the show. We are brought to you today by Athletic Greens AG1. This magical green powder of 75 pristinely sourced vitamins and minerals supports your gut health, immune function, and it helps with energy, recovery, focus, and even anti-aging. These are a few of the many reasons that AG1 has become a staple part of my routine. First thing every morning into a cold glass of water. AG1 saves me time and money by taking all the guesswork out of what vitamin stack I should be using to help optimize my health. So you can reclaim your health with convenient daily nutrition. It's easy. One scoop in a cup of water every day. To make it easy, Athletic Greens is going to give you a free year's supply of immune-supporting vitamin D plus 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/roadman. That's athleticgreens.com/roadman to take ownership of your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance. The link and all the details for this offer are in today's show notes. Roadman, welcome back to another Roadman Cycling Podcast. I am back in Dublin on terra firma. It's nice to be home. It's nice to get back into a routine, chilling out with Sarah, walking the dogs. I've become a real creature of routine in the past 12 to 18 months. And I really miss that routine when I'm away, even though Girona is like the most beautiful place in the world to ride your bike. There's nothing like coming home. So today I want to talk about 7 sort of nuggets that I wish I knew when I started cycling. It's prompted by a Twitter DM message I got from somebody starting out. And it was a simple question. He said, what do you know now that you wish you knew at the start? And I expanded upon that answer in a Twitter thread where I put down 7 items that I wish I knew at the very start. And I want to share those with you here today because they're important and they might help you out regardless of what stage of that journey you're on. The first one, be nice on the way up as you're getting better, because you're going to see everybody on the way back down. And that is as simple as it sounds. When I was moving through the ranks, an older ex-pro said to me, be nice on the way up. As you're coming through the categories, you're moving from Cat 4 to Cat 3 to Cat 2 to Cat 1. You start winning your races. Smile, be humble, be gracious. Don't have an ego about you. The goal isn't to step up a category and then to start casting aspersions down a category, to throw derogatory marks down at somebody. Terms like Fred, you know, and this goes on the bike and off the bike. There's a nicer way of moving through the bunch in handicap races without intimidating people. Be nice on the way up, because trust me, no matter how good you are, we see great world champions. At some point, that you know, you crest the mountain and you come down the other side. It's not always going to be, you know, you're the big dog. Someone's going to come along younger, better, faster. So be gracious at all times. The second one, a single session, good or bad, isn't going to make or break you. I got hung up on this for so long, and I thought that one bad session would undermine weeks or months of good work. It really doesn't. Think about diet as a great analogy. One bad meal, if you're in a predicament where you're carrying some extra weight at the moment, one bad meal or one bad week, that didn't get you into the situation you're in. So obviously, by implication, one good meal or one good week isn't going to get you out of that. So you need to be realistic with it. What we need to look at is long-term trends and long-term data points. The weighing scales, training peaks, CTL, whatever you're looking at, it doesn't matter if it's going up or down from day to day. Generally, you want to be trending in the right direction. If you're looking at fitness, you generally want to trend and up over a long period of time. If you're looking to lose weight should be trending down over a period of time. Exact same if you're trying to save money. Cycling can be a roller coaster of emotions. You can have great days followed by bad days. So it's important to remember that single ride or bad session, it really won't break you. It's that long-term trend that matters, and maintaining that focus on the bigger picture. The third one, it's watts per kilogram. It's a fake performance metric for Zwift. So let me give you some maths on this one. A 75 kilogram rider that's doing 375 watts at threshold, That's 5 watts per kilogram at threshold. But that is not the same as a 65 kilogram rider doing 325 watts at threshold. Sure, you're going to say to me that boat riders are doing 5 watts per kilogram at threshold, and if you put them side by side on Zwift, they are going to go the exact same speed. But you know what? Zwift isn't real life. I've seen the 75 kilogram rider make absolute bits of the 65 kilogram rider time and time again. Absolute power matters. It's not all power to weight. Power to weight matters on a hill, and it matters on a hill when the pitch hits a certain gradient. I don't know what that is, if it's 7, 8, 9, 10%. A 2% climb with some wind, the 75 kilogram rider is going to make bits. They are not the same rider. They're potentially totally different category riders. Different animals, different beasts. It's not all about shedding weight. The fourth one I wish I knew is, training isn't the only aspect of your life that you can periodize. We've, you know, had Joe Friel on the podcast, and what an honor that was to chat with Joe Friel. You know, a literal hero of mine. Joe Friel really popularized this idea of periodization within training. And what I mean by that is this idea of week one, we train. Week two, we build on that. The third week, we build on week two. And the fourth week, we have a little bit of a decompression week. That's a micro cycle. But over a macro cycle, then, if we have a criterium in July we're aiming for, we can build up these 4 week blocks where maybe in block one, we're doing 10 hours. Block two, we're doing 12 hours. Block three, we're doing 14 hours. And that's like the maximum hours we're hitting in that block in the third week. Then after our event, say our event is the following week, after our event, we take a week where we're back to 6 hours a week. We're back to 4 hours a week, whatever it may be. That idea of increasing your intensity, increasing your duration as you get closer to an event, that's called periodization. That we're doing a different type of stimulus at different times of the season. And that stimulus normally increases as we get closer to the target event. That idea of specificity, the closer we get to the target event, the more the training mirrors the demands of that particular event. But what I wish I knew at the start was that it's not just training that gets periodized. It's actually your whole life. It's being a little bit stricter with your relationship with your partner. No, you can't go out and get ice cream if you're 2 weeks away from the event. No, you maybe can't go for that walk after dinner. You need to put the legs up. Maybe you can't go on that holiday 2 weeks out. But by that token, you can do all that stuff when you're 6, 7, 8 weeks out, when you're 6, 7, 8 months out from the event. You only need to get strict with your diet, get strict with your lifestyle, get strict with your work. As you get close to an event, I see so many people getting into unsustainable training practices where they're a Cat 2. And at Cat 2, Cat 2 is a funny category. Because I think at Cat 4 and Cat 3, a lot of people kind of have a realization where they're at. Most Cat 1s have either tried to step pro at some point or they have no desire to do so. And they kind of have also a realization of where they're at. Cat 2, there's a lot of dreamers in Cat 2 who think they can be pro and they haven't seen the many layers to the onion. But a lot of Cat 2 riders I see living just super, super strict all year round. And the problem with this is you won't be around for 5 years, 6 years, 7 years, 10 years. Your relationship with cycling will be a flash in the pan. You're going to burn hot, burn bright for a couple of years and disappear. All my friends who've had long-term relationships with cycling, with the biking, we all came to cycling because we love it, so we want to maintain that relationship. They all have a very sustainable balance around diet, around sleep, around relationships and work that periodizes as you get closer to the event, but then takes the foot off the gas after it. The fifth one, surround yourself with people on a similar trajectory to you. The people you surround yourself with, they have a massive impact on this cycling journey. If you ride with people who are a similar trajectory, you're going to be motivated and you're going to be inspired to keep pushing yourself. Now, I was so lucky with the training group I had. We had some of the national champions, guys, almost everyone got paid to ride their bike at some stage in this sort of four-person training group I had. One of the guys got to ride the world championships. It was absolutely brilliant. You know, we're all cheering him on. But you're going to rise or you're going to fall to the level of those you surround yourself with. So be super selective who you spend your time with. That's an analogy that doesn't just extend to cycling, but to work, to relationships. If you want to be a good dad, surround yourself with amazing dads and you're going to come up to their level. If you want to be a toxic, terrible dad, surround yourself with other people who are hanging in the pub instead of going hanging out with their kids all day. And that's the level you're going to drop to. There is a caveat within this. If you ride with people who are much, much stronger than you, you might have this idea that it's aspirational, but it can actually be demotivating as well to be constantly getting dropped, to be constantly riding in the wrong zone. So that's something to watch out for. Although you want to surround yourself with the best training group possible, they should be peers. They should be people who are on a similar trajectory to you. The sixth one is fueling has such a huge, huge impact on the adaptation you get from a session. Okay, sure, most of us who are experienced, we can get through a 2, 3, even 4 hour ride without eating on the bike. I was really bad for this for a long time, and I picked up this habit from old friends who are world tour, where if we were doing 5.5 hours, we'd literally just ride 2.5 hours to the calf, have a scone and stuff at the calf, and then ride back 2.5 hours. But if you were to take on 120 grams of carbs per hour diligently, the quality of the session you're going to have is going to be completely different. The adaptation you're going to get from that session, it's going to be a much different adaptation. So the return you get on that training investment is much, much higher. And this compounds day after day. It's also going to help you recover faster to get ready for next ride. So really make sure you're fueling properly on your rides. And the seventh and final one, it's don't compare yourself to others. This is a beautiful sport and it's so rich and colorful and textured. But please, it's so easy to get caught up in comparing yourself to others. And it's not productive. Comparison truly is that thief of joy. Every cyclist, you have to have your own unique journey. It's important to focus on your progress, on your goals. Are you moving towards that? Are you a better version of yourself today than yesterday? Because comparing yourself to others, it's going to lead to you feeling inadequate. And it's going to hinder your progress. So focus on your own growth and enjoy the journey, folks. Thanks for tuning in, and I'll be back tomorrow with another Roadman podcast. Until then, ride safe.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast. Have you ever wondered how good you could actually be? Each of us has a unique set of circumstances with work, family, and social obligations, but we also want to fulfill our potential in cycling. Okay, maybe you won't ever win the Tour de France, but for most of us, this is what cycling is about. So let us build you the perfect training plan around your lifestyle that's totally unique to you and will help you finally realize your cycling dreams. So whether you're just getting started on the bike or if you're a more seasoned cyclist, we have a suitable coach for you. So why not schedule a call with us and we can have a chat about how we can help you go further than you ever dreamed of in your cycling and fitness goals. Go to roadmancycling.com/contact or pop me an email directly to sarah@roadmancycling.com.